Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 85 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We come to you after a week off for Thanksgiving holiday, if you will. How was your Thanksgiving, Brian?
Good, man. Thanks. Lots of food. Great food. Family. It was good. It was a really good one. How about you?
It was okay. I go to my in-laws every year, and every year, every holiday is literally the exact same. There's the same eight people. It is the same meal. My mother-in-law cooks Thanksgiving meal for every single holiday. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, dependable. Is that a good word? I mean, I don't know if that necessarily is a good thing, but it's absolutely what it is. And Rashad Penny scores a touchdown. Yes. So if you haven't noticed, we are recording. Oh yeah, sorry, I wasn't supposed to tell you.
That's okay.
We are recording Monday night during the Seahawks game, and A, it's a Seahawks game, so I'm watching it, and B, playoff implications, man. Win and in for me in Trade Addicts 3, or if I lose, I need someone else to win. So a whole lot of stuff is going on, and all of it is based on this game right now, so I am going to not be paying full attention to this podcast. My bad. See, I already forgot what the hell I was going to say next. Well, we don't have a guest. We talked about Thanksgiving. Let's just jump into the news, I guess, besides the fact that Rashad Penny just scored a touchdown. Minshew Mania is... Wait, no, give us the news. You were out last week. Well, we were both out last week. The week before, you weren't there. So hit us with the news.
Here's the news.
That's the way I like it. Minshew Mania is back. Nick Foles got benched, and I think we all saw that coming. I think everyone was a little surprised when he got the starting job back in the first place. Yes, Minshew, really bad over in London. But not how many good games have happened in London? I don't think there's been that many.
Not
especially
many.
You bring a rookie across the pond. It's easy to see how bad things could happen. But Minshew is back. He looked like Minshew when he came back. Do you think this is... I mean, for the rest of the season, do you think if Minshew starts screwing up, they're just going to change back? What do you take of this situation? Make of the situation is really the right word, but go with it.
I think that the Jags are going to roll with the hot hand. I mean, if Minshew comes in and is good, I think they'll stick with him. If Minshew comes in and he's terrible, then I think they'll throw Foles back in there. I mean, you know, I don't think they care which guy it is, honestly. I mean, they're paying Foles a lot of money, so if it's Minshew, that lets them maybe do something with Nick Foles. You know, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if Minshew can be the same quarterback that they think Nick Foles can be, then they'll probably move on from Foles, either cutting him loose or trying to trade him at some point here. But, I mean, I think both of these guys can be starters in the league. So,
yeah, I think Foles, I don't know what Foles needs, because we always thought he needed – Filippo, is that his name? The offensive coordinator that was the Eagles. I think he's now the Jaguars, right? It's funny. Everyone is talking about you can't put Foles on the bench because of the amount of money he has. John Hogue talked about something very, looked at things a different way than I have ever heard before. He was talking about it when it comes to draft capital, but it kind of works here also. When he was talking about Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, he would say, it doesn't matter who you spent what pick on. The reality is you spent a third and you spent nothing. as long as you're getting at least the value of a third and of a nothing out of these two guys, it doesn't necessarily matter which is which. I think it kind of works that way with this situation with the quarterbacks. I mean, you're paying Foles a ton of money. You're paying Minshew absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. If anything, you're still getting, I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to get the $30 million worth of quarterback out of Foles in the first place. So, I mean, whatever that is, whatever it is, but you're getting decent quarterback money worth of quarterbacking play out of one of your guys. And worst case scenario, you have a not terrible backup sitting behind him in case something happened. So I think this money means Foles absolutely could ride the bench, at least for the end of the year. Who knows? I'm sure they'll have an open competition before next season, which just is going to kill both of their super flex value or keep them both even, whatever it is. But yeah, I think they can keep Foles on the bench. And honestly, even if it's just comes down to team attitude and ticket sales, I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Minshew mania has caught on. There's no doubt about it. You know, I know the situation is different because Pittsburgh will have Ben Roethlisberger returning, but this is the same type of thing that's going on with Duck Hodges too in Pittsburgh. It's just like a cult. It's just like a cult following. Russ is freaking out over here on the video because I think something just happened in the Seahawks game. I have no idea what it is.
I just got excited and felt like dancing.
Yeah, whatever. No, but yeah, I mean, each quarter, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, if the Jags have a chance to sell some more tickets and they have the same chance to win with Gardner Minshew as they do with Nick Foles, then it makes a lot of sense to leave Minshew in there and kind of ride that wave, sell the merch, and, you know, and then it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Speaking of selling tickets and buying merch, are you buying or selling either of these guys right now? I'm guessing you can't get much for Foles. So I guess I would say, are you buying or selling Minshew? And are you just getting out of Foles or thinking he might come back and buying?
I think,
oh, come on.
They reviewing it.
No.
Oh, something else happened.
Shit, I'm going to have to edit now.
Your reactions are great. We should leave them in. Yeah, as far as Foles and Minshew and buys or sells, I mean, I think Minshew, your buy window was open the last couple of weeks, and hopefully you scooped him up if you believed in him. You know, I think now, I mean, anybody that hasn't, you know, hasn't acquired him is probably a little late to the party. And we'll have to, you know, pay up. As far as Foles goes, yeah, I think Nick Foles is going to start in this league again. I really do. So it might not be in Jacksonville, but he's better than a lot of quarterbacks in this league. So I would use this as an opportunity to buy if you can get him for really, really cheap. And I think that's probably likely, especially if Minshew has a good game or two here to close out the season. You know, then I think, yeah, I mean, Foles, I would look to acquire maybe this offseason for cheap.
Hit me with what you think is cheap.
I knew you were going to ask me that. I mean,
you're not thinking a third, are you?
No, I'd pay a second though. Easy.
A second.
Yeah. I'd probably pay a mid second.
Really? Because I mean, I feel like if I have the 212, I would pay him for any reasonable backup quarterback in a super flex league. I mean, that just kind of makes sense because of the amounts, especially this year. We've seen how the rate at which quarterbacks can get hurt.
Right.
So speaking of Hurts, the reason I flipped out, and we'll see if I keep this in or not, both Diggs and Cook are on the ground. Diggs was looking at his ankle, and I think Cook just got laid out. I don't even know what was going on. They picked that away too quick.
So we were talking before we came on here about that league where I'm going for the bye.
Yep.
So I was down coming into this game, like 18 points or something like that. And Carson and Diggs have, no, it must have been like 20. Carson and Diggs have a combined 19, a little over 19 points. I am currently down by 0.12 points. Oof. Now, the good news is, I mean, that's like a yard and a half. So if Chris Carson can get another yard and a half and not fumble the ball,
it's probably going to happen on this play, man.
or if Diggs can catch one pass or something like that.
Yo, literally just got a yard and a half.
Did he really?
Yep.
Well, just hang on to the football, Chris, because we all know that's an issue here. So, anyways, okay. So, yes, hopefully neither one of those guys is hurt too bad because, I mean, they're going to be crucial in your fantasy playoffs. They're also going to be crucial to the Vikings playoff push here. I'm liking the way that this team is looking, and they're going to get Adam Thielen back too.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Right. You know, maybe for the stretch run and into the playoffs. I think they're a pretty dangerous team.
Absolutely. I don't know what happened to their defense because they used to be amazing and now they just are not. And Chris Carson just caught a ball, so you're fine. Yeah, it looks like Diggs was walking around. Cook, it looks like he hurt his shoulder a few plays ago, and it looked like it probably just got worse. But
that's not good. He's had the shoulder issues in college. Not good. I'd rather see him twist an ankle or something than the shoulders.
Yeah, Diggs is running. He'll be fine. Never try. If you're falling, don't try and catch yourself. Just right. Let the ground catch you. You're always going to screw up your wrists or your shoulders. But we're going to move on a little bit. Cincinnati won a football game. So congrats, Cincy fans, if you wanted to win a game. But the real news here is not only did the Cincinnati Bengals bench Andy Dalton on his birthday, apparently they benched him one touchdown short of the franchise record for touchdown passes. And he gave them a big middle finger this game by getting that touchdown and winning the game. So I'm going to jump the gun a little bit. Maybe we should have Andy Dalton as a bye because I think he's just going to be pissed the rest of this year because he's clearly playing for another job somewhere because, I mean, they're not keeping him at this point. I mean, he's a free agent. He's going to go somewhere and he'll get a job somewhere. And even if there's, you know, not a controversy, like a competition, that's the word. He's good enough to win it. He's been great when there's been players around him. The Bengals just don't like putting good offense on the field, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that whole team is just a crapshoot right now. But props to Dalton for coming in there and making some stuff happen. I mean, he's clearly, I think Cincinnati benched him to see what they had in Ryan Finley.
Absolutely. And it's funny. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's what we always give teams crap about not doing is exactly like they did the right thing. It's just they just did it at a really poor time. Like, just let that dude have his birthday. Let that dude score that touchdown. Then give him a month off.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, it was just bad timing. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think Andy Dalton, another one of those guys, he's a starting NFL quarterback. He's not necessarily a great one, but he's a decent one. I mean, he can win some games, just not playoff games. Oh, that's an AFC North jab to the right. Sorry, Bengals fans. But yeah, no, I think Dalton, I mean, he's obviously probably done in Cincinnati, but, yeah. But I do think he'll be another guy like Nick Foles that gets a look somewhere, for sure. They're both better than Ryan Tannehill.
Hey, now.
I said it.
I mean, to be fair, on talent, probably. But, you know, we'll talk later about Ryan Tannehill. And now Seahawks offensive lineman's hurt. Just call this a game. Call it a draw. I don't care. Stop getting hurt, everybody. It's a fantasy playoff time, guys. Come on. Our last item on the news is it's Drew Lock time in Denver. Not only did he get his first start, he got his first win. So that's actually pretty awesome. I didn't pay enough attention on Twitter to see how our large group of friends that are Broncos fans feel about this. Mm-hmm. I know you talked to John at least recently. So has he had anything to say about Drew Lock's season?
I mean, I think all of those guys are somewhat excited to see if, you know, to see what he can do. I mean, they might as well. They, you know, I mean, Joe Flacco's done there. You know, the other guys that they played, Brandon Allen, I think, was the other one. Yep. And, you know, I mean, and then he gets hurt. So, I mean, Drew Lock, I mean, they drafted him in the second round. You know, I think they, again, this is another opportunity to see a little bit of what the kid has. Now, I think he's a little bit longer term of a project, but at the same time, he had a decent first game as a starter. And, you know, we'll see what happens from here. I think it's the right move to put him in, similar to what Cincinnati did. You got to put him in there and see what he can do. And it, does he have potential to grow into that role, or is he just terrible? And it's like, okay, well, we got to draft another one, you know, next year and see. And they might do that anyways to compete. But it was nice to see him have a good game. And I'll tell you, the guy that benefited the most here was Courtland Sutton. I mean, monster game, 2 touchdowns, you know, and that dude is a legit number one. So,
oh, yes,
you know, and so that's something to look forward to potentially as well. If Drew Lock and Courtland Sutton can kind of have that, you know, chemistry, you know, that's good for the Broncos offense as a whole. And it should open things up for the backs there, which are, you know, both talented guys. I mean, Freeman and Philip Lindsay, of course, especially, you know, I mean, they're both, you know, I think they're both above average backs. And Lindsay was real. I mean, Lindsay was really good last year. So, you know, yeah. I mean, I think why not throw him in there, and they did, and he performed in this first game. So we'll see what happens here. But I think as a Broncos fan, you have to look at this as a positive, you know, and then see what happens moving forward. And as far as fantasy goes, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's another guy like Daniel Jones. You know, a lot of people not real high on him, to be honest. I mean, NFL teams higher than fantasy analysts for sure. But we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe he delivers some pretty big games like Jones has this season, and you know, and heading into next year, he might be a player that people are trying to scoop up.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing struggling is the wrong word, because I mean, I guess I didn't think about it that much. You're right. There is a very good chance the Broncos will spend at least the same amount-ish of capital on a quarterback this year than they did last year. Drew Lock is no set-in-stone starter, which is why, you know, when you brought up Daniel Jones, it really made me think about it. Buying Daniel Jones is a brilliant idea when he's not performing super well, because, A, we've seen he can, and especially when next year the strength of schedule comes in on the Giants schedule, they're going to have some easier matchups, so that bodes well for Daniel Jones's schedule. And again, he was, what was it, the 6th overall pick or something ridiculous like that?
Yep.
That dude's starting for a while. We right. know that. We don't know that about Drew Lock, but right. honestly, I feel like if you had someone who drafted him in like the late second round last year, has been holding on to him on the IR for however, you know, whatever week we're in, and is looking to cash out, and seeing as how we keep saying that this draft year is so much better than last year's, if you can get Drew Lock for a late second, even a mid-ish second, I think I do that a lot, because like I said earlier before nice like I said earlier and or before, I think I would pay like the 212 for any quarterback that has a chance at starting. right now, Drew Lock is starting. So sending like the 2-6, 2-7, I think is a smart move, especially if you're a team that, you know, needs help at the quarterback position. Or if you want to do the smart move and just stockpile cheaper guys and hope that their value increases so you can then use them. And, you know, when their value increases and sell them off. So I think I might go buy some Drew Lock. I'm not going to lie. I only have one share. I got him in a startup after rookie drafts. So I got no Drew Lock shares in rookie drafts. Mm-hmm. But I think I might try and go get some.
I think I only had one, and I haven't acquired any additional ones. So I still got that one share. But yeah, no, it'll be fun to watch him and see where he can, you know, where he can go, what he can do.
Real quick about Daniel Jones. I still think, like I said before, I think he's a buy. I think it's like he has shown that he has 40-point upside, and he's going to have an easier schedule next year. That's just like the truth of how the NFL creates their schedules. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if Philly doesn't fix their secondary, that's still two games of a really bad secondary. Washington is kind of crappy, and you never know which Dallas you're going to get. So, I mean, we're not going in order. He's not on my list of buys, but we're talking about quarterbacks and his name came up. So I think I'm also going to go try and buy some Daniel Jones, though him I actually have a decent amount of.
Yeah, I have a couple. I have more shares of Jones than Locke,
for sure.
But yeah, no, I'm with you there too. I think, I mean, the Giants are committed to, you know, trying to make it work with Daniel Jones. I don't think they're in the market for a quarterback. I don't think they're looking at quarterbacks. I mean, I think he's their guy, and hell or high water, you know, at least while this coaching staff and general manager are there, you know, now that there are changes made, which there could be if things don't turn around next season,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Jones can, you know, is a guy that can, you know, this should be a buy right now. You know, he's coming off a pretty bad performance. But he's had a couple good ones too here this year and shown what he can do. So,
yeah,
from a fantasy perspective, anyway.
Daniel Jones's worst crime were A, the team overdrafting him. Yep. And I forgot if I said one or A, but I'm going to stick with the letters. B, doing too good too quickly.
Right.
Like
he became Danny Dimes and then.
Yeah. I mean, that made us forget that he's a rookie that we. I mean, we like as a community, I guess you can call, because I guess the community is the one that sort of decides his value based on perception. Like, we didn't think he should be starting this season. I mean, no one really thought he was ready. No one thought he was going to step in and be awesome. So I think, like, I don't know if it's short-sightedness. We can't call it recency bias anymore because it's like 10 weeks ago at this point. But I really think that one game and showing that ceiling sort of, I mean, like, skewed people's perceptions of what he is, what we should be getting out of him, what we should be expecting out of him.
Right.
But that's enough rookie quarterback talk for now. We don't have a main event as such, so we're going to skip that for now. We're going to do our buys and sells, and we'll see how the night treats us for Trade Addicts trades and such. Make amends. Hit us with make amends.
Make amends.
I didn't actually write this down, but it's been stewing in my brain kind of all day today, because I kind of realized this isn't about a player. This is sort of about a process. We have always said buy old players when you get towards your trade deadline. That seems to have not worked out this year. I mean, the big buys are always Larry Fitzgerald, and he's been like, there was a few weeks where he was just trash. Like, he put up 6 for 65, I think it was, this weekend, which is very doable. Like, that's very startable, but inconsistent, not great. Frank Gore, I mean, they have had a good schedule. They've played well, but they've been using Singletary in the run game, not just the pass game. Like, we thought, I at least thought was going to be the case, at least until we got much further into the season. I think they went much, much quicker. And it's, you know, Frank Gore is just pretty much fantasy worthless at this point. Emmanuel Sanders, after that rib injury, has done absolutely nothing. On a larger scale, Julio Jones, you know, that I've been trying to sell you for weeks now, that I'm sure you wouldn't want to buy at this point anyway. He misses the week last on Thursday, Thanksgiving game. And he's falling into his I don't like to score touchdowns mood. So that just sort of kills his value also. It's weird. Like, yeah, just these, I think we're at a, it's such a weird year. I can't get over it that studs aren't playing like studs. Vets aren't playing like vets. We're getting a lot of production out of people I think we don't normally do. And it's really screwing with dynasty values. And it's kind of making me not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of my make amends. My make amends is on the process of, you know, buying vets for your playoff pushes when maybe that's what is didn't work out. I mean, I guess is really the best way I could say it. I mean, Jason Witten is still Jason Witten. So I guess if that's what you needed, that helps.
Yeah.
We'll see if that helps me in Trade Addicts 3 or not. We still need to get Rashad Penny back on the field and we need to get Tyler Lockett to catch a freaking ball.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything written down. Do you have any make amends?
So I can, yeah, I'll do one here too. That's a little bit, it's a make amends. That's a work in progress for me. But it's a process thing too. And mine is, so I am starting to come around to the idea of trusting myself in playing matchups. So I've always been I haven't been like a bang the table, start your studs guy, like start your studs no matter what. But mm-hmm. I definitely have been I have a harder time benching a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or Michael Thomas or, well, I mean, you're not benching Michael Thomas, sorry. But, yeah. But like, you know, Saquon, yeah. Even in, you know, the way that this season has gone and different things like that, Juju, those types of guys. So, you know, but I'm starting to come around to the idea of, especially if you have like guys that are maybe two or three tiers below a stud of yours, but you know is a rising player. So like a player like DJ Chark this weekend against Tampa, and I don't even know what he did. I don't think he totally went off. Yeah, two catches, 47 yards. So, no, he didn't have a good week. But, like, when I was looking at that matchup, I was thinking, okay, like, DJ Chark is a guy that I mean, you probably are having him in your lineup anyways, but if you aren't, like, if you only have to start two wide receivers and maybe you have three stud running backs and you want to put that third running back in the flex position, you know, and then you look at a guy, you know, a stud and they're in a horrible matchup. You know, they're across from Gilmore or, you know, gosh, my mind tonight, just a stud corner and a tough defense and all that. I'm starting to come around to the idea of kind of playing the matchup there as long. I mean, look, I'm not playing Andy Isabella over DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care who is on them or what the offense is like or who's hurt around them. I mean, I'm not going to do that, but you know, I'm starting to come around to the idea of with these really studly players, if they have a horrible matchup and I have a player that's maybe not in that stud category, but is a solid player, but has a really juicy matchup. You know, I might play that guy instead. I might play John Brown over, you know, Stephon Diggs or, you know, even Nuke or you know, guys like that too. Again, I keep coming back to Michael Thomas. Why can't I think of elite receivers right now? My brain is like fried potatoes or something. I don't know. But anyways, I just think I'm starting to come around to the idea of playing the matchups a little bit more than just the, you know, start your studs all the time.
Speaking of, you apparently should have started David Moore over Tyler Lockett.
Oh, geez. This one's killing you, isn't it?
I am down by 7.51. If I get 7.51 points, I win. and Lockett still has zero. And that was just a 60-yard touchdown to David Moore.
Yeah, it was. That was a pretty ball, too.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's what Russell Wilson does.
Right in stride.
Yeah, I'm really going to have to bank on this 10-point lead holding and the Seahawks trying to run out the clock and Penny just grinding a crap ton of points.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. All right, hold on. And I don't think Fugazi's scoring another 30, so I can't believe I'm going to miss the playoffs. That's going to make me so sad. All right, hold on. Let's move on. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So let's go. Well, I was going to make the joke that I'm going to start trusting you with my sit and start decisions because I am terrible. It's fine. Like, a lot of people DM me, like, who should I start? They tag me and who should I start? And I'm like, look, I'll give you my advice, but I don't know how much you should trust it.
Yeah. Yeah, same. It's definitely not my strong suit either.
All right, but we are going to jump into our buys. I listed a lot of people. I'm not going to lie.
You did?
Yeah. This episode, like, we had our trade deadline live episode, but, like, this is it. Like, if your league has a trade deadline, this is going to be it. If there's a trade deadline, it's before the playoffs. Playoffs for most leagues start next week. So I listed a bunch of guys I am going to buy going into the playoffs. I'll go through the list and then we'll just figure it out. Darius Geis, Devontae Parker, Ryan Tannehill, Rashad Penny, Jarvis Landry, Cole Beasley. I forgot Beasley's first name. These are my list of buys. A lot of the, like, most of them are super obvious, especially Geis coming off his giant game. Parker, I don't know, man. Like, I think most people, especially people on Twitter, recognize what Parker is doing, but I don't think a lot of people in the real world do. So if you're in a league of not low-life degenerates, I think you can still get Parker for a pretty late second, early third for people that are just tired of owning him, and maybe they're not paying enough attention, or maybe they aren't in the playoffs and just want to get something for him. I mean, I think it's absolutely worth a shot because he's been really good for most of the season. Now, what comes of him next year, I have no idea. I think he's tied to the Dolphins next year, but we also don't know what the Dolphins are going to be next year. You know, who's going to be their quarterback? Who's going to be, well, I guess we know who their coach is going to be, but we know nothing about that offense. Dude, they gave that guy 5 years guaranteed. He's going to be their coach. So if I can get Parker for a late second, I don't think I care what next year holds, because you'll sell him, you'll get him for a late second, and worst case, you'll probably be able to sell him for an early third in the offseason. Non-point scoring season, excuse me. Darius Geis, I think there's still going to be someone somewhere who doesn't believe and is going to want to try and sell for this. Trade at X4, the second that game ended. So Steve's trade bait updated with just Geis on it. My last offer to him, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was a 2021 first and Robbie Anderson, and that got shot down. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the 7 for 107 game would change that. But what are you paying any 2020 first for Darius Geis? All right, it's super flex, so you're not going to pay the 101. Because that's going to be a quarterback. DeAndre Swift or Darius Geis, not knowing what team DeAndre Swift is going to be on.
Swift. But it makes me sweat.
Yeah.
I would probably pay the
103.
Probably 103.
I'm going to say right now that I would take Geis over Swift, not knowing where Swift lands, but I don't know if I have the guts to do it in the real world. I was listening to the Fantasy Timeline. They live stream every Monday, 9 to 10 o'clock. So I try, and every time I can get down early, I listen to them for a half hour before we start recording. And one of the things they were talking about was a trade that went down. It was Rocky at, man, Dynasty FF Addict, something like that. Sorry, Rocky. In his one of his leagues, it was a mid that might be early first and a mid second for Calvin Ridley. And I just went, I'm taking Ridley. I want that pick. That pick is going to gain value, but I think Ridley is worth at least that valuation in picks. We know what he is. We know who his quarterback is. We know what team he's on. And we kind of know what his situation is going to be going forward. Like, there's so much safety in that. There's so much. We know what his production can be in that. So I feel like, yeah, Geis is, the Skins suck. There's no getting around that. But they're young. They're going to have a new coach. I think a defensive touchdown just happened. I'll take it. But that's definitely going to be, definitely not getting any Lockett points tonight. Let's put that there. But I think I am satisfied enough with their position that I would take Geis over anything but the 101. Just because right now, Burrows is probably going to be the 101. And I don't, we have to wait to see what happens with Tua to see if he gets healthy quickly enough to be the 102. But not knowing that right now, I think if I had the choice, again, I don't know if I could do it in the real world, but I would take Geis over the 102.
Am I crazy? I mean, I don't think you are. I mean, look, I'm on record, you know, I mean, for me, Darius Geis was the 102 in that class. It was Saquon and then Geis, and it was easily those two, and then I started taking quarterbacks. You know, even in Superflex, I mean, I had Geis above all of those quarterbacks, Baker, Lamar, and who was the other one? Darnold, Rosen. I mean, all those guys. I messed up on the Rosen one.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not like what you were saying was outlandish at the time. It just didn't work out with those two teams. Very bad teams. Like, I think it takes someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick to succeed on a team like the Dolphins are right now.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, I've been a big believer in Geis's talent to me is clear. It's just a matter of he hasn't been healthy, you know? So it's kind of like Dalvin Cook. I mean, Dalvin Cook is awesome, but he gets banged up or injured or whatever you want to say. I mean, it happened again tonight and hopefully he's okay, but he's been unbelievable when he's been out there. And I think Geis is going to be the same way as long as he can stay healthy. You know, so does the risk of re-injury, or does the injury-prone label get tagged to Darius Geis, and does that push him down in value? Maybe. But if you believe in the talent, and you know, then yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. I don't know that I would take him. There's a couple running backs in this class. Swift and Jonathan Taylor's the other one for me.
I have such a hard time trusting Wisconsin running backs.
You shouldn't, though. I mean, Melvin Gordon's kind of dispelled that.
One dude. We're really going to call one dude.
Yeah. James White, too. I mean, that's two.
That doesn't count.
Dario Uwagwe. I tried it. Damn it. I was trying to nail it. Yeah, good job. I was trying to nail it. I'm a yinzer, though. I can't say shit. We say downtown and pop and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, you like to make up touchdown, Rashad Penny. Oh, while making the playoffs.
Good for you, man. I'm happy for you.
I am sorry for everyone that I just screamed into the microphone. I'm not taking that out. That is the sound of pure joy.
Oh, good for you, buddy.
I can't believe they threw the ball with that lead, and Rashad Penny just took that to the house. Hold on, I have to jump into the Trade Addicts 3 chat and brag about it.
I hope you didn't. You didn't just knock me out of the playoffs in that league. No. Okay.
Good. No, I have nothing to do with you. You have Rocky beat in points. So
yes. I am also going to win. I think. Am I going to win in that league?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Whatever.
Okay. So to keep going, just because we harped on Geis, we both like him, so it kind of doesn't make sense to keep going about it. Ryan Tannehill, he didn't have a great game this past week. He still scored 2 touchdowns. I think he threw them both. But he has been a top 10, if not top 5 QB since he started. Before last week, it was the QB2 or something weird like that. We had a trade in, I think it was 3, where it was Tannehill for a 2021 second. Like, to me, if I'm a playoff team, any day. Because right now, especially for 2 years out seconds, if I can buy right now production, we joke about the point of Dynasty being the prettiest roster, but you want to win. That's the real point of this game, is to win. And to me, that's a winning move. If you can get Ryan Tannehill, especially now after he had a seemingly bad game, I'm doing air quotes even though no one's watching. I think that's such an easy move to make. And the weird thing is, I have Tannehill on a team I'm not competing with. I can't get a second for him. I've been trying. So I think it's a move that everyone should be going to make right now. And I hope people in TradeX1 are listening to this and offer me an early second for him, because I will take it right now. I'll probably take it. Offer it to me. Not right now, because I still have to edit and put this out. I'm not editing.
that was a hilarious sequence right there. Please send it to me right now. Well, not right now, because I'm editing.
You don't know I'm saying this. Well, Rashad Penny just got to be a little bit of a harder buy, I think. I mean, 2-touchdown game is going to do that. But if someone's looking to get out, if someone thinks that this is a fluke, because let's not mince words. Chris Carson's awesome. He is very, very good.
Electric playmaker.
Shout out John Hogue for twice in this show. It's like we like the guy or something. at least twice. They have been showing more of a split. Like, I thought they were going to do the entire season. I thought in the beginning of the season, we were going to see, 1,000 rushes during the season. So if they split it 50-50, they each got 500 rushes. They're both going to do awesome. They did not do that in the beginning of the year. Carson was like 90-something% of the rushes. The past 2 weeks, especially with Carson fumbling the ball, they've been splitting the ball a decent amount. I'm way too lazy to pull up actual numbers to see what the actual splits were. But even especially this game, and if they can get out to 34-17 leads and just have to run the ball to kill the clock, Penny's going to get a lot of work. And, I mean, the Rams' defense hasn't been great. That's who they play against next week, at least for sure. You are in working, so I can't really pull up the rest of the schedule. Panthers, who have been terrible against the run, and the Cardinals, who are terrible in general. So the Seahawks have a fantastic schedule coming up. So if you can find the bad team with Rashad Penny on it, you might want to hurry up and do that, because either they're going to get out to the lead passing the ball and you'll be able to get some RB2 numbers when he's grinding the clock, or they'll be up by 2 touchdowns and still throw a pass to him that he's going to run in for 14 yards for a touchdown and get Russ into the playoffs. I mean, one of those mm-hmm. two things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I clicked away from my list to just go and make sure I was actually winning in that league after all those flipping out I was doing. My last two are Jarvis Landry and Cole Beasley. Jarvis Landry, I have always been a fan of Jarvis Landry. The hate on Jarvis Landry to this day is still crazy. The thing is, right now, people are so down on the Browns in general, and people have never been happy with Jarvis Landry, especially once Odell Beckham showed up. He's been doing really well lately, and I'm not just like, not like the past 2 weeks, for a while, he's been getting his 6-7 catches a game. And I think this past week, he finished 6 for 60 something. And hey, that's better than the 7 yards we're used to per catch. So, I mean, he is absolutely a wonderful wide receiver 3 on your team who has 30 point upside, which I think he did 2 weeks ago. So, oh no, who is that? Vikings just scored a touchdown. It was, oh, Laquan Treadwell. Sorry, I said a name, but if it was Diggs, I would have lost my stuff, because I need Diggs not to score points.
I need Diggs to score points.
Yeah, and Cole Beasley is... Cole, we're both playing for a bye in our separate leagues. I need Diggs not to score points to get my bye. He needs Diggs to score points to get a bye. So one of us is going to be happy, one of us is going to be upset by the end of this. Mm. But yeah, the Seahawks decided not to defend Laquan Treadwell on this play. But Cole Beasley is one of those guys that I don't think will ever just have dynasty value. It's just, he's Cole Beasley. But, I mean, he has always been solid. And he's been this Bills team who is doing really well and has been passing the ball a lot. And let's face it, man, Josh Allen might be good at quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it seems like that might be the case. And if that is the case, you're going to want his slot receiver because that's who catches the ball a lot. Ain't going to Dawson Knox like I needed to, that's for sure. So, like, you can honestly probably get Cole Beasley for a third, especially if the team isn't competing. If they are, maybe you throw a late second. But again, it's worth it for the championship. If you just need depth, like, you have your studs, but you don't know what to do with your, I mean, let, you know, we start 10 in the Trade Addicts leagues, you're going to start 4 or 5 wide receivers some games. So, yeah, Cole Beasley will have a place on every single roster. So I think he is an excellent buy.
Okay. So before we move on into my buys,
I was going to say, if you have anything to say after all of that rambling, I just,
Well, I want to touch on two things. One, not related to one of your buys, but well, kind of related, but not one of the players. Josh Allen. I've been kind of saying for a little while here that, you know, statistically speaking, he's not the prettiest. It's not the prettiest thing to watch. Okay. But the kid but he wins games. He wins game. I mean, he's a winner. He gets you the throw when you need the throw to win the game. That's the type of guy that I would want leading my franchise. I don't really care what he does when they're down 30 or up 20 or whatever. From a fan perspective. Now, from a fantasy perspective, of course, we care about that stuff. But from a fan perspective, Josh Allen's a guy that he has impeccable timing when it comes to making big runs or big throws. He has that it thing with him. And then the second thing here for me is Rashad Penny. I'm selling. Easy. And here's why.
I don't want to hear it.
So he's not a sell for me.
Just said I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Well, too bad. You're going to hear it anyways. I want to know. So this is the thing that really, I mean, is funny to me in the Dynasty community. And look, we all do it. I do the same thing. Okay. How many games does it take for a player to not be good? And then how many games does it take for a player to be good? It depends on which side of the aisle you're standing on is the answer, right? If you're a penny truther,
what you thought coming into it.
Exactly. If you're a penny truther or a Seahawks fan, you look at the last two games and you go, Penny breakout season, Rashad Penny, if they would just use him right, he would be absolutely worth his draft capital, and he would be the starter, and he would be... The bottom line is, he has not been able to beat Chris Carson out for 2 years.
Yeah, but you're putting that as an indictment on Penny, not a credit to Carson.
But this is
also a Danny Dimes thing, where Penny should not have been drafted in the first round. I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan, and I'm a little bit of a Penny fan, but, I mean, I liked Penny coming into the draft season, thinking I would get him in the middle of the second.
Yeah,
he ended up going at like the 103 at some point, which is insane. So I'm like in the middle of what you were saying. Mm-hmm. I've always liked the idea of Penny. And at the end of last season, Penny looked good. So I get what you're saying, but I hate it and it's wrong. You're absolutely right in what you're saying. I think this is a little bit of confirmation bias, not recency bias, that I'm just so used to saying. Like, and if you thought he was bad, you're going to be like, oh, whatever. This is just, you know, the Vikings are being terrible and stuff like that. And he'll look good next to a fumbling guy. But you're right. He has not been able to beat out Chris Carson. But I don't think that's a bad thing on Penny. We just went off about how good Chris Carson was.
Right. No, fair enough. And I think that, you know, that's the other thing here. I think there's room in this offense for both of them to be productive.
100%. And look at tonight.
It's just that I think that there, again, I think there are Penny truthers, per se, that are out there thinking, oh, this is his breakout, and he is going to take that job and run with it. I don't think that's going to happen. Unless they move on from Chris Carson, I don't think that's going to happen. Because Chris Carson is a damn good running back.
Yes.
So that's just kind of where I am on that. And I think that there are enough people out there that believe that you could sell Penny for. Like, if you could sell Penny for a 2021st, I would do that. I would be slamming the mouse.
No, yes. Yes. So, I'm with you there. Yes, 100%. You know, I don't think I don't think I would send a first for him.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to send a first for him. Maybe after this game. But
yeah, maybe after this one.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to go do some investigating about that.
All right, so you want me to roll into my buys?
Unless you have to like slander my Landry and Beasley picks also.
No, those ones are fine. I mean, I think those are guys. Good. Yep, I think those are guys that you can get reasonably priced. No, it's not that the other ones aren't good for buys. I just had points to make on. That's all. I think both of those guys are guys that you can get at pretty decent prices. I mean, Landry, you know, is typically undervalued, I think. I mean, everybody keeps saying, if he's going to be any good, you know, it's because of the volume. Well, two things. Number one, I don't care why he's good. I mean, in fantasy football, I don't give a shit if it's volume or if it's, you know, because he catches long 80-yard touchdowns. It don't matter to me as long as he gets the points. So, and he does that often. So, you know, and then Beasley. Yeah. I mean, Beasley's a guy you can get for next to nothing. And he's playable easily right now. So, yeah, I like both of those. So, and then I'll jump into mine then. So I have three big names, on this list. And I'll talk about the biggest name for me, last, but, so the first one is Joe Mixon, and I think Joe Mixon is a guy that has played for a terrible team and a terrible offense this year, that doesn't have any idea what's going on, you know, and he's – Joe Mixon is an extremely talented running back. He's got all the skills necessary to succeed in this league. He catches passes. Russ, you are killing me tonight, man. You're killing me these reactions, and I can't even keep up with it because I'm streaming the game, so I'm like delayed 30 seconds or whatever. Is Russell Wilson hurt? Please don't let Russell. Okay.
No, it was good. Shocking. My only worry about guys, I was looking at my line. My only worry about Mixon is what that offense is going to be next year. We have absolutely no idea.
Right. But the thing with Mixon is I don't think that they can be worse. I really don't. I don't think that they can be a lot.
Very, very good point.
I don't think that they can be. Ooh, fake punt. Nice.
Yeah, that's what I was throwing my hands in the air. Like, why? Like, seriously, dude? Yeah. And like, wow. They showed a shot of the Vikings coaches just sort of laughing, like, what the hell are we supposed to do now? Like, whatever. Fine. Whatever. Yeah, no, that brings up a great point. Like, they have had bad luck with offensive lineman injuries. Like, their rookie first round tackle ends up tearing a pec or something like that.
Their all pro receiver is out.
Yeah. Cordy Glenn, who we knew had injury issues before they traded for him, but he was out also. So yeah, like they should hopefully get their linemen better, back healthy. They should get better newer ones as well. So you're right. Like it really should only get better. And let's face it, they're going to have a top two pick. So, I mean, if they bring in Joe Burrows, I mean, that is clearly an upgrade. Yeah. Right.
I think so.
And yeah, grab a still baller wide receiver in the second if they wanted to.
Or offensive line. More offensive line help.
Well, just they definitely... Auden Tate, though, man. I know he's not like... He's no AJ Green, and I don't think we need him to be AJ Green, but he's doing really well.
He really is, and his catch radius is huge, man. He went up on a pat.
That was always the joke, was that he should just be a tight end.
Yep. Yeah, but I think with Mixon, you know, he catches the ball. He's shifty. He runs with power, though. It's not like he's a shifty guy that catches the football, but he's not Gio Bernard. He runs with power. I mean, he's between the tackles. He can, you know, you're at the 4-yard line, you give it to Joe Mixon, there's a pretty good damn chance he's going to get in the end zone. So, excuse me. So, I mean, I think Mixon, and the other thing is he's 23 years old. You know, it feels like he's been in the league for 2 years, but he's only 23 years old. So I think, I think he's a buy right now. I really do. And I think you can, he's not even going in the top two rounds in certain drafts. So,
especially after the saltiness of people taking him in the first last year. All right. So wait, let's go back to the well.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon or DeAndre Swift, not knowing what team he's on.
Joe Mixon.
Okay. what would it take on top of, we'll say, the 102 to be equal to Joe Mixon? Two firsts, like a later first or a first and a second?
Second.
102, 202, call it a day?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because of this class. Yeah. Yep.
All right, cool. But, all right.
Yep. So, and then my second, so I'll move right into my second one here and staying in the AFC North. And my second buy is Juju Smith-Schuster. And for me, I mean, even if you don't believe he's the Juju of last season, I still think that there's an opportunity right now, based on how bad this season has been, to buy him and buy him at a discount, essentially, to what I believe he will produce with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger. And then I think the Steelers probably got some answers this year as well about their quarterback succession plan. And I think that they don't have it on the roster. I love Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges is a wonderful backup in this league. I think the Steelers found their backup quarterback in Duck Hodges.
He's not afraid to throw the ball, which is nice.
No, yeah, absolutely. But I don't think that they found their starting quarterback for the long term after Ben Roethlisberger hangs it up.
Yeah.
Now, Ben's there another year or two. So, assuming he comes back from the injury healthy and doesn't have any issues with that, you know, and if he doesn't, that's going to bump Juju back up, you know, in my opinion, up into the elite tier. Now, wide receiver one overall, no, probably not. That's shooting too high. But wide receiver one, I can see that, you know. So Juju's a buy for me too. And then the last one, and I wasn't going to talk about it, but, you know, I went out on it. Yeah, I mean, I went, well, Russ pushed me into it tonight, and I went out on Twitter this weekend, and I don't understand why people one thing that really bothers me in the fantasy football community, and I'm seeing more and more of it lately, we're so caught up in being right about certain players that we root for failure. And I don't like that. I'm not like that. I'm the type of person who, I mean, yes, I have my guys that I absolutely 100% believe in and want to be right about, but I would never root for someone to absolutely flat out fail just to prove my point. And I think that for me is really a frustrating thing in this community. And I'm seeing more and more of it lately. I don't know what that's the product of, and I'm not here to crap on anyone. I mean, we're all allowed to have our opinions, and that's fine. I just wish it was a little more positive. but my last buy is Saquon Barkley, and the reason I saw him crapped on this weekend. I mean, just people. I heard bust. I heard, you know, not worth. Yeah, I mean, and look, the not worth the 102 in the actual NFL draft discussion. We don't have to get into that. I understand the point that some people were making about that pick and quarterbacks and different things like that. I'm not arguing that point. I'm talking about from a fantasy perspective. I literally saw people on Twitter this weekend saying he's not even a top five running back in the league. That's just stupid. I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, you can create stats to say that he's not, because this year he's been hurt and he's been,
yeah, I mean, he still has that ankle taped up. They showed it this week.
Right. I mean, he's not 100% clearly, and he's in a bad, he's not in a great situation. So yes, I mean, I understand some of the arguments to why maybe you take Christian McCaffrey over him. I get that. I don't have an issue with it. You know, other guys, Dalvin Cook, before he gets hurt, the way he's been playing this year in his current situation, I get it. I mean, I'm not arguing against those points. I think some of those points have a lot of validity to them. But to say that Saquon Barkley is not a top five running back in the league, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
That's recency bias on top of salt. That's what that is.
So to bring it back around to being a buy, I just say, I mean, if you can pay running back six prices for Saquon Barkley right now, do it right now.
All right. So I'm going to be honest with you in a way I never thought I would before.
Okay.
I have a team that is in the playoffs I won the championship last year. Mm-hmm. I have Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I considered selling Barkley for my playoff run.
Okay.
I never explored it to the point of looking for an actual trade, mm-hmm. but it like the it absolutely crossed my mind. Because yeah, like I said before, it's all about, you know, winning the championship, and this would be my second year in a row, and that would give me the we have a progressive pot. So
you'd win a bunch of money.
Yeah. I haven't done it. I didn't do it. I think there's a trade deadline in that league, so I guess I can't do it at this point. But yeah, like the thought has crossed my mind. But honestly, like we're talking, I don't know if I could find a price I would ever sell him for. So yeah, I don't know. All right. Yeah. I don't think we really need to talk about Saquon Barkley, because I don't think either of us are really selling Saquon Barkley. So, but yeah, go buy him if you can, because why the hell not? Buy Saquon Barkley, buy the generational talent. Sells? Are we ready for sells?
Sure. Yeah, and I'll stay. So this is one of my favorite guys in the league as well, for obvious reasons. If you've ever listened to our show, I'm a big Penn State guy, and I love Chris Godwin. I love what he's doing. But for me, he has to be a sell right now. I mean, monster season, being drafted at the back end of round one in startups right now. I mean,
saucy.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to sell him right now based on that price. I think, you know, I don't know that he can go a whole, he can't go. I mean, it obviously can't go a lot higher than that. So, no. You know, you got a situation where you have another stud wide receiver, a true wide receiver one on the other side, and Mike Evans. You have Jameis Winston throwing them the ball, which one of two things there. Either, I mean, Jameis Winston, to count on Jameis Winston to be consistent is something that I don't really think I can do. And number two, I'm not convinced he's going to be the quarterback in Tampa more than this season. So,
let's name drop again. Man, John Hogue's been saying that since before the season, and yeah. I thought he was crazy at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that, you know, he throws interceptions, he makes bad decisions at times, but to me, he's the perfect Arians quarterback. So, like, I thought it just fit perfectly. But yeah, it's a very seeming reality that he is not the quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Sorry. Right, no, and who knows who they get in? They get either a rookie or they get do you feel better about Chris Godwin if Nick Foles comes in, or if Andy Dalton comes in, or if Cam Newton even comes in? I don't know that I do, you know. So, and I'm not saying that I would take Jameis Winston over them. I just don't know that they're better for Chris Godwin than Jameis Winston is. So, you know, that's where, to me, if I can get a player, you know, that I feel more solid about, or you know, we've talked in the past about players, like if you could get 80, and I know you don't like doing the same position trades, but if you could get 80% of the production and a draft pick, you know, if you could get DJ Moore and a second for Chris Godwin, or, you know, Josh Jacobs and a second, or something like that, where you're going to probably get 80% of the value in another rising player plus a little. You know, I think those types of deals make sense. Or add a little to Chris Godwin and go get somebody like Saquon Barkley right now. Or, you know.
Ooh, that's one to play with. Hold on. Godwin and a first. Godwin and a mid-first or Barkley?
Barkley.
Godwin and the 101 or Barkley?
Barkley.
Wow.
You remember who you're talking to, though.
Yeah, but I'm just honestly here, okay, I'm looking to see how quickly you say it than what you say.
So let me give you context, because I traded Chris Godwin and two firsts in Trade Addict 6 for Alvin Kamara.
Plus
a couple pieces. Now, it was also like 6 or 7 weeks ago, right before Alvin Kamara got hurt and right before Chris Godwin went apeshit on the league. I mean, he had a couple big games, but like he had that, you know, 2 or 3 game stretch where he was in the 170s double digit catches and stuff. So, but yeah, I did that. And I mean, I kind of regret it now, right now, but you know, beginning of next season when I'm starting Kamara and Barkley in the same backfield, I'll feel pretty good about that, I think. So, but yeah, so that gives you an idea. I think I overpaid though. I mean, I probably would have paid, I probably would still pay Godwin a first and a second, maybe, especially for Barkley.
Yeah, Kamara, and I think something, I mean, it's tough to think of people selling Barkley for not super stud back, where a lot of the value does, or at least half the value does come back in picks, but that seems reasonable. That seems doable in the real world. And man, the Seahawks are going to lose this game, and that's just ridiculous. It's now just a field goal game. So I'll move on to my sells, because I kind of agree with you. I think if you can still get multiple firsts for Chris Godwin, I think you got to do it. You don't have to. He just missed the extra point. Man, the Vikings do not like kicking against the Seahawks. My sells, I have two, sort of. I'm selling anyone on the Rams offense I could sell right now. I forgot who it was that pointed it out, but the only time the Rams offense plays well is when they're playing against a bottom quarter defense. And they don't always do that very often. I don't know what is going on with their offense this year. It's weird. I don't know. I guess it's a combination of like everything. They lost a couple of linemen, a lineman got hurt. Gurley's knees, Cooks with the concussions, Goff maybe, I don't know, some regression, who the hell knows. But everything happened to them at once, and it just kind of sucks for their offense. They're coming off of an amazing game. In trade addict six, I have Kupp and Woods. I really think I'm going to go out of my way to try and sell one of them this week. I don't know who, and I don't know for what. But if I can sell one of them, I think I'm going to. I think it's smart to get out of that sort of inconsistency, especially two dudes on one team on my team. I'm not a fan of that right now. And I really did that trade for a Kupp recently without really thinking about, oh yeah, I have Woods also, and their offense isn't really great. So I don't know, man. To me, I am selling the Rams offense. And my second sell is Aaron Rodgers. Of course, this sounds weird coming off, or may sound weird to you, coming off of like a 4-touchdown game in the snow or whatever the hell he just did. But I mean, let's just not paint it in any other way. The Giants are terrible. But I really wrote this down to ask you a question. Is there something you can see that can happen the rest of this year to make Aaron Rodgers' value go up? If he throws 4 touchdowns a game for the rest of the year, will he, except for, man, fifth time, John Hogue, will he be above QB like 4, 5 for anybody?
No, I don't think.
Because of age. I mean, we have a serious issue with age.
What he was for the first half of the season. I think enough has happened, enough has compiled that I think we've hit Rodgers' ceiling.
Yeah.
And this is Dynasty. You need to think about more than just this year sometimes. In trade addict 7, it kind of didn't look like we sort of moonwalked into like the 5 seed somehow. I don't know how, but we did it, or the 4 seed, I think. I was trying to sell Aaron Rodgers before the game. The games happened this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were trying to get Kyler Murray, who I'm trying to buy anyway, but I mean, that's not even really besides the point. Like, that was a version of that was sent to us, which just wasn't a very good offer. Sorry, Jake. The idea of moving Rodgers to Kyler, who in QB ranks are probably pretty close for a lot of people, getting that age, getting the legs, getting all that upside in that offense with, you know, the young wide receivers that everyone really does kind of seem to like, to me, is just a no-brainer move. Except we made the playoffs, and now we're probably not going to do that move.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, it's hard, man, because, I mean, Rodgers is one of the greatest that's ever played the game at the position. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to watch him. You know, there's still – and the other thing is he still shows it at times. You know, before – I think it was you and I that were talking about Aaron Rodgers – because of the trade offer that we received in that league, you know. And so Rodgers has had two games here back to back that have been subpar. Well, three now, but it was two when we were talking about it. And before those two games, he was the quarterback sixth on the season.
Yeah, I mean, but also in a year where everyone's getting hurt and all of and getting benched, it doesn't take much to compile he's played every game, so he's going to have a leg up on a lot of people. And Russell Wilson just took like a 20-yard sack. Sorry.
That's all right. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, availability is an ability.
The best ability. No, you're absolutely right. And it's kind of like I made the joke about Jason Witten. I don't remember if that was before or during recording, but like yeah, Jason Witten is going to get you like 8-10 points a week, and he's going to get it every single week because he will always be out there.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And don't get me wrong. I often say on this show, the Dez paradox, just because he was a stud, he was the stud, doesn't mean he can't turn into a solid two. Aaron Rodgers is not trash at all. He is at least, at worst, I should say, a horrible, horrible QB1 to an amazing QB2. That wording did not make sense whatsoever. Okay. On his bad games, he's still a top 15 quarterback, but he has the ability still to throw those four touchdowns and get you a top 5 quarterback. So he is absolutely worth something on your team. If you are looking for the production, if you're playing the long game and you're one of those people that thinks in 3-year windows or just, you know, don't look at the names and just look at the value, I think we hit his ceiling. I think we're there still. It hasn't started to drop yet. I think once this season ends, it's going to start to drop. So that's why I'm saying sell Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay with the idea of selling Aaron Rodgers. To me, the thing is that you got to sell him for the value, or else it makes more sense just to hold. It's kind of like the Julio thing that we talked about previously, where, you know, it's not just the trade value, it's the production value along with the trade value that he's worth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because yeah, scoring points should come into play. Absolutely. Well, that is our buys and sells. We didn't really do keeps because it's the trade deadline. Don't keep, just go. Have fun. So we are going to hit up some Trade Addicts trades and then get out of here because there's 3 minutes left in this game. And I am just about ready to tilt my face off because the Seahawks love losing games. Trade Addicts leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75. per reception for tight ends. And since none of these are Trade Addicts, 1.05 points for return yardage. The first one is a 2022nd and 2023rd for Philip Lindsay. This is perfect to me.
Yeah, same. That's exactly what I was thinking. I think I would, if I needed a running back, I would pay that for him. And if I didn't, or if he was like my running back 4 or something like that, then I'd probably move him for this. So, yeah.
Exactly. The only thing that's worrisome is he's been losing some of his target share. But also, we don't know what that is with Drew Lock, short of one game, which I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to go look it up.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll just move on from that. So, that's like, I figured it was perfect value. It was perfect for the purpose, so I threw it on there.
Yep.
Trade Addicts 6, Darren Waller and a 5th for Curtis Samuel and a 3rd. What do you think of this one?
Ooh. So I would probably lean to the Waller side here just because of the tight end scoring. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would lean to the Waller side. I don't think it's very far off though either. I mean, I think it's pretty decent. I guess for me, the thing is Waller going to be, I know they just signed him to a deal, but is he going to be the tight end one there long term?
I mean, I was about to start talking in first person because yes, this was my trade and I traded for Darren Waller. I think they, at least for the rest of the season, are fine rolling both of them out. Foster Moreau seems to be an end zone guy. That really seems to be what he is. He's like Tyler Eifert at this point. Darren Waller, like the Raiders kind of scare me because they did really, really well for a while. And then like they've scored 2 touchdowns in the past like 5 weeks. But I mean, this week Waller went 7 for 105. And again, 1.75 per reception for a competing team. Like this was, I'm a Curtis Samuel fan. You are not. I think that's something we've just known at this point. But giving up on Curtis Samuel was a little tough for me. The problem is Curtis Samuel is touchdown dependent, and I don't really want that in my lineup going into the playoffs right now, because I'm sneaking into this on the 6th seed with the most points. So my team is not necessarily great. Like it was very good at the beginning of the season, but it's been very up and down. So I'm trying to get a little more consistency now that I'm getting into the playoffs and not have that boom bust, especially with the quarterbacking that's going on in Carolina. But the person I traded this to is not making the playoffs. And so getting the higher pick, getting Curtis Samuel, you know, makes sense for them. I was curious what you thought on the value itself, because I struggled with this one, both on the idea of Darren Waller and the value itself. But in the end, I did it because I wanted the 1.75, and I was willing to just close my eyes and hit accept.
Yeah, I mean, again, with the scoring, I think it's fine. And I am not a big Samuel guy, or I haven't been in the past. I mean, I think at the beginning of this year, I started to buy in a little bit more to what he might be able to do. But yeah, I like this trade for you, especially, you know, trying to get the consistency. And if you can pick up points in the Trade Addicts leagues, tight end is where you can pick up points. You know, mm-hmm. If you can get a tight end that is consistently a producer, with the bump they get, it's significant, and it can really help propel a team. So, yeah, I like the deal for you. I know this. I think I know who this is too. It's Shane, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So he also has like half of the decent tight ends in the league on his roster.
Yes, he does.
So,
he made his push, and he did it by acquiring tight ends.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for him, I think that's a decent trade for him though too, based on his tight end situation and having, you know, such a deep, he has a lot of depth there. So, yeah, no, I like this for both of you guys. I think given your teams, especially, but yeah, I think I would make this trade for Waller if I was in your position there, for sure.
Okay, we have one more trade on the show sheet, but we're about to hit the 2-minute warning, and I need to get glued to the TV.
Yeah.
So we're going to call it quits. So on that note...
This was like the quickest ending ever. It's like, guys, I'm out. I got to watch this game. So.
Two minutes, 22 seconds left. Vikings just used their first timeout. Seahawks just got the ball off of a fourth down incompletion.
All right, let me say one more thing real quick. All right. Thank you for continuing to be a fan of an NFL team. We are going to talk about that this non-point scoring season, because there are some stalwarts in the industry that are transitioning to non-NFL football fans outside of fantasy, and I can't even wrap my head around that.
I will choose fantasy over the Seahawks, but yeah, I can't stop myself from being a Seahawks fan. It's I'm not a Seahawks fan. I'm just a football fan. I like my fantasy teams. That's all I care about. And then the Seahawks come on, and I can't help, you know, react. Like I could say all the things I want. It's like what I was talking about trading for Geis. It's like I could say this all I want, but when I come down to it,
right. Right.
Yeah, but like you said, we'll talk about that later. Okay. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. It's time, man. It's Christmas season. It's Hanukkah season. If there's other seasons I don't know, it's time to go get those presents. Get gifts for your friends and family, and yes. 10% goes to Fantasy Cares. So help get gifts for kids that can get their own. Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting stuff for you or your friends, but also giving money to Fantasy Cares, we have our awesome wristbands that were both flashing on the camera that absolutely nobody's watching right now. Navy blue and neon green, the Trade Addicts colors. One of there's, you know, both colors on each, but, you know, varying of where they go. $5 each, $2 from every wristband will go to Fantasy Cares. Just DM Brian or me and we can get them out to you. We both have some, so whoever you like more, DM us.
Ooh, that's you're gonna, yeah.
people are just gonna DM you now just to make, you know, because I said that. That's
I hope so. Make me feel good about myself, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I spend like an hour and 20 minutes every week making him feel like crap. So you just like, you know, pick him up a little bit. Love you, Brian. Speaking of showing the love, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. We actually just got a new patron this week, Graham, who actually, fun trivia, was our first ever listener question.
Yes.
How cool is that?
It's very awesome.
Yeah. So rock on, Graham. Welcome. Assuming I'm saying your name right. I think that's everything.
Yeah.
All right. Night, Brian. I got to get out of here before this commercial ends.
Night out, Alice.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Bar FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.